Once again, my friends, the happy music can only mean one thing.
It's time.
For Mike and Lisa and your morning tradition. We are the Austins. I like that better. Mike and Lisa, we're the Austins.
Uh-huh.
I like that, okay? What was a Father Knows Best family? What was their last name?
I forgot.
The Best family?
I don't think so.
Probably not. You have to look. That'd be a trivia question if we did trivia. Maybe we should add some trivia questions. Someday, it's part of the plan. Well, we welcome you to Wednesday, August the 5th. We will have your day in history, the saint of the day coming up. And then, of course, we want to leave lots of room for our next Skype edition with Father Peter Scott. We're gonna talk today with Father Scott about the upcoming synod. Some people say synod. Some people say synod. I think it depends on where you're from.
Could be.
You know?
So, you kept correcting me, so it's whatever you say.
Wait a minute. I need to record that. I need to record that one. Good morning and welcome. So, yes, the synod. And Father Scott's going to talk about what we can expect from the synod and where we go from here. And we have a few questions, so we will get into that. So, well, when's Joseph come back? Our son is at summer boys camp.
Saturday.
Don Bosco boys camp. Coming back this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Are the other kids missing him? No.
Not really.
Not really.
And it's been quite quiet.
Have they been going through his stuff?
No, never.
No, they wouldn't do that.
Nope, they
all
wouldn't.
Right. So we're basically the whole show this morning is going to be with Father Scott because he's got a lot to say, mm-hmm. and we'll probably do a couple of segments with Father Scott from South Africa.
I love that.
And so he's going to be on. Also, remember we had Louis Tafari. Now he's listening to this and he's going, "My name's Louis."
Yeah, and I'm from Missouri.
Louis Tafari, as he told me, Tafari. Missouri. We're going to have him on the next, I don't know if tomorrow or the next day.
One of these days.
But one of these days, we're going to have him on. Anyway, he's going to be on, and Lewis has an entire website, and it deals with liturgical things. He wrote a book for altar boys, which we're going to talk to him about.
Mm-hmm.
If you need to teach your altar boys, he actually does that as well. If you have... I don't know, the questions about liturgy at your chapel. Lewis is the man.
He is the man.
He knows this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
He wrote the book. Anyway, he's got a whole website on that. And
we're very blessed to have to get to know him.
Well, yeah, and I'm hoping to meet him someday face to face. But if you have a question, you can go to his website, and it escapes me right now because I don't have it written in front of me, but I will get that for you at some point this morning.
Lewis sounds good, but you should have been prepared.
Prepared?
Yeah.
What's that?
No, it's...
What is that? Romanista or something like that.
You're working on it, right?
Yes.
Okay, thanks.
And so Lewis, he actually consults. People call him, even in the Novus Ordo. They call him and ask him, "Can you tell us? We've got a bishop visiting. We've never had a bishop visiting. We don't know what to do. What are the rubrics? Can you tell?" And he consults them.
I think that's nice.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
All right, because you want to get it right.
We're going to have Lewis on either tomorrow or Friday, maybe Friday into the weekend, and talk about his website and what he does and more. Because he's more than just a pilgrimage, people. Okay?
He is.
So let
us
know.
He's a wealth of information.
Lisa, I want to ask you something.
Much like yourself.
Don't lean on me. Don't lean on me. More with Father Peter Scott coming up, our saint of the day. But right now, Lisa, my question to you is,
yes.
How can you know where you're going if you don't know where you've been?
We have made history.
Any day in history.
A day that will go down in history.
History of this day.
This day in history.
This day in history.
Today is August the 5th. It's the 217th day of the year, and there are 148 of these babies left in the year. It was on this day, way back in 910. That's when there were only three digits, 910.
Wow.
910. The last major Viking army to raid England was defeated, the Battle of Tettenhall, by Mercia and Wessex, led by King Edward and Earl Athelred. This was way back when England was still... Oh, wait.
When England was still Catholic.
It's kind of fun.
And on this day, August 5th, in 1100... Henry I is crowned King of England in Westminster Abbey.
That'd be Westminster Abbey.
I thought that's what I said.
No, Mister, you said.
Oh, Westminster
Abbey.
Abbey.
And that would have been in 1100. You know what? That's way back when England was still Catholic.
Awesome.
All right. In 1305, William Wallace. This is such a great movie. William Wallace, who led Scottish resistance to England, of course, we know that. It was a great movie.
Yeah.
He got captured near Glasgow. They took him to London. They strung him up. They drew and quartered him. Very same famous scene in the movie. Wait a minute. Can we just, I rarely do this, but I got to stop history just for a second. Because it is William Wallace, after all.
Would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that?
Yeah.
For one chance, just one chance,
yeah,
to come back here,
yeah,
and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
Freedom!
Freedom! Okay, fine.
That gives you goosebumps.
That's what they do.
It?
Yeah, up at boys' camp, that's what they do when they're getting ready for dodgeball. Remember, wasn't there a kid last year that did paint his face like blue like that?
Something like that.
He was like a Smurf.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yes, it is.
I'm sorry. In 1861, the U.S. Army abolishes flogging.
You're just a bit too perky to say the word flogging. I'm sorry. But that's okay. They abolished it.
They did.
You can't get whipped anymore. 1864, U.S. Civil War, Battle of Mobile Bay. This is when Rear Admiral Farragut, his, and I don't have audio of this one, but he said, "Damn the torpedoes, full speed ahead." And then I think he said, "Freedom!" at the end.
Yeah.
Maybe not.
And on this day in 1882, Standard Oil of New Jersey is established.
And it was on this date, August the 5th, 1926, the first talkie movie, Don Juan, premiered at Warner Theater in New York City. And there you go. That's what happened.
August 5th.
On this day in history, back when a whole bunch of people were still Catholic.
When England was still Catholic.
Way back when England was still Catholic. There you go. Ah, man. Audiovisual fun with the Austins, ladies and gentlemen. We welcome you to our little show. We're going to do this, and we're going to get back here, and we're going to have Father Peter Scott on Skype from South Africa. We're going to talk. Now, we're going to get serious on you.
Sure.
No, we are.
It is.
Because
the synod.
Yeah. Synod. Depends where you're from.
Correct. Whatever you say.
There you go. I got to get more coffee, more cereal, and we'll get back. Father Peter Scott will join us. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for listening and supporting traditional Catholic radio.
Magnificat Media.
Good morning and welcome back to your
morning tradition.
Wait a minute. Here at MagnificatMedia.com. Radio on MagnificatMedia.com.
Magnificat Radio.
At MagnificatMedia.com. I just got to read my business card. Where we are.
So
before we get to Father Scott, I was told yesterday what we might want to do on the website.
Yeah.
Is what was I told? Now I just left my mind.
Uh oh.
Holy! You ever do that?
Yeah.
Start talking and something leaves your brain.
Mm-hmm. I hate that.
Yeah. Getting older, Lisa.
I know that.
Yeah. Yes. Well, whoever told it to me, and I said, "Yeah, let me make mention of that." Email me, and we'll do it. I guess. Over to. We got to get right on to our first guest anyway. I'm concentrating on talking to Father Scott. Father Peter Scott, gracious enough to join us from South Africa via Skype. And we wanted to talk about the Synod coming up in October. This is a monumentous event that everyone's been talking about. But is it really? I don't know. Let's talk to Father Scott. Father Scott, good morning and welcome aboard.
Good morning, Father.
How are you doing this morning?
Just fine, thank you.
We're doing well. Let me, Father, let me just jump right in on the Synod thing, because I know your time is busy. So, the Synod, it's on the family, correct? That's the official thing, the Synod on the family.
First of all, there's two Synods on the family. The one that was held last year, October 2014, and the one we've held this year. And these synods are revolutionary in their conception. Not that it's unusual that there be synods in the church. There's always been synods in the church. A synod is a meeting of the bishops.
Right.
And there's always been meeting of bishops to discuss doctrinal issues, moral issues, clerical discipline, means of apostolate, all kinds of things that need to be discussed that the priests and the bishops need to work on to increase and improve the effectiveness of their apostolate.
So,
synods have always been held during the church to condemn errors and to clarify the church's teaching in times of confusion. When those synods are very important, they become councils of the church or ecumenical councils in which all the bishops from the whole world gather together. Now, the synods like this have been held regularly since Vatican II. And these synods that have been held since Vatican II have always been held with the intention of implementing the Second Vatican Council's program of reform and revolution within the church. And these two synods on the family is no different. It's very interesting. They had, first of all, an extraordinary synod, and then it's going to be followed by an ordinary synod. And clearly, in the minds of the authorities in Rome, that this was done to prepare the way for the synod in October, which supposedly is going to give a final answer to all the modern questions that concern the family.
Right. And we've always had, of course, the example of the Holy Family. But all through history, the church has been very clear on what the family is, what it does, what dad does, what mom does, what the structure of the family should be.
Of course, the church has given all the answers to all the questions that there are concerning the family in the innumerable encyclicals of the popes which preceded the Second Vatican Council. And so what's going on here is an attempt to overturn, by means of democracy within the church, otherwise called collegiality, overturn the traditional moral teachings of the church, to do it in such a way as it appears to be the moral quasi-unanimity majority opinion that we must follow, because, of course, we must be democratic.
So this synod is going to be, it looks like, something that the modernists, the modern world out there, even non-Catholics, are going to applaud because it's more democratic and it's more inclusive, when in fact this has the possibility and the potential, it seems, to completely make worse the direction that the church has taken in both morals and family since Vatican II. It can get worse.
Well, what is worse is this. In Vatican II, the Second Vatican Council promoted religious liberty and ecumenism, which yes. meant indifferentism as to which faith you have. It doesn't matter whether you're Catholic or Protestant or Muslim or Hindu. As long as you're sincere about your faith, we all believe in the same God. We all are going to heaven.
But that's what we got from the Second Vatican Council, you're saying. That's what came out of that.
That is the false teaching of the Second Vatican Council.
Yes.
Right.
Now, what happened now is they're extending that from the doctrinal domain to the moral domain, saying that now it doesn't matter how you live your life, whether you're heterosexual or homosexual, whether you're married and divorced or not, whether you keep commandments of the church or whether, because of unavoidable circumstances, you can possibly do so. That doesn't matter anymore, because everybody has to discover himself and discover his way to God, and so everybody's going to God in any case. It's the indifferentism now applied to moral issues, which is much more perverse even than the indifferentism applied in Vatican II to doctrinal issues, because what it means is a corruption of the natural order itself and of morality, which is in the Ten Commandments and which is in the natural order of things. And of course, the two great corruptions are marriage and divorce and remarriage, and this being acceptable, and homosexuality is being, well, not exactly the same as marriage, but, you know, understandable, and we can't condemn them, of course. And we all know that it was the Pope himself who said, who am I to condemn homosexuals? Right. Who got this thing going in the first place and got people thinking that the church is changing its attitude on such matters.
Yeah,
and so we have a moral revolution that is that has already been taking place in the church, which is now going to, attempting to make it part of the church's teaching and not just something which happens. It's been happening in Germany for 20 years.
Oh.
For sure, already. They've been giving communion to divorced and remarried persons for a long time.
And
against Rome's command to stop it. But now they want to make it a public policy for everywhere. And what's interesting is this is causing incredible conflicts within the Novus Ordo Church, because you've got the Novus Ordo people who are radical liberals who want to destroy all objective morality and bring it down to pure modernism. Everything is subjective in the eye of the beholder.
Yes.
And you've got those who are more conservative who will accept some subjectivism in doctrine but not in morality because it's so gross.
This is,
and we have this opposition which is created, and it's, of course, it's tearing the church apart.
I was going to ask that question, is even within the Novus Ordo world, it seems as though once the synod happens and is unfolding, and perhaps even already, it seems like the whole of the faithful and the church is going to come unraveled. I mean, even the Novus Ordo church is going to completely rip apart.
Well, it's certainly going to be torn by the different tensions. Now, it happened already in the last synod, which made no real decision. There was a document published halfway through that synod of 2014, which was very radical, and which the fathers of the synod did not accept or agree with. But the final document had text in it that they had never agreed on, promoting divorce, remarriage, giving communion, and saying we have to accept that homosexuals also can receive communion. And so, but it wasn't even voted by the members. This time, the synod is stacked with the liberals. A few of the conservatives who objected have been removed. And it's going to be a lot, they're going to have a lot more stronger push than they did last time. What was interesting, I don't know if you heard about this, last month there were two meetings took place.
No.
One was a secret meeting,
yeah.
Took place in Rome, and the cardinals from Germany were present at this secret meeting that took place in Rome, which was leaked out. And of course, the purpose of that meeting was to, how are we going to get this through the synod so that we can, the divorced and remarried people can receive communion and likewise homosexuals. At the same time, in Accra, which is the capital of the country of Ghana, there was a meeting of all the bishops of Africa. Now, the bishops of Africa are all very conservative, relatively speaking, to the Europeans,
yes.
All opposed to giving communion to divorced and remarried persons, and absolutely opposed to homosexuality. With whatever else you might say about Africa and the immorality in this continent, Africans detest homosexuality.
Okay.
And they don't stand it. They hate it because it's such a perversion, and they have at least that much sense of the natural law. And so they are going to stand up against it at the synod, and they made their meeting was public, unlike the secret one which took place in Rome. And so you see that the battle lines are being drawn. Problem is that the Pope is pushing the agenda of the liberals.
Yes.
And he's behind Cardinal Marx, and he is behind all the other liberals who are pushing this agenda. But without putting his name on the line, absolutely saying this has to be, he wants it to be come about by a democratic process. And this is what the bishops are doing. Here in this country, they did a survey of the Catholics. What do you think about giving communion to divorced and remarried persons? 80% of all those who responded says they must receive it. Therefore, they must, because that's what the people want. You understand the crazy logic which is the overturning of the church's magisterium authority.
Okay. All right, let me stop you right there, Father, because we've got to take a break and do a couple of things here, and we'll get back with Father Peter Scott from South Africa on Skype this morning, and we thank him so much. This is some deep stuff.
Big stuff.
And important things to talk about the upcoming synod coming up in October. Mike and Lisa Austin on your morning tradition here at magnificatmedia.com.
Magnificat Radio, traditional Catholic radio, online,
living our faith.
More than Father Peter Scott here in just a minute.